presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
And sprinting into our Wolves midweek right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Smash that like button, share the stream as well. That goes miles and miles and miles. Hey, Roger Daltrey. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are things with you?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
Two thumbs up.
Good. That's good to hear.
That's like really good for me. Two thumbs up. My daughter slept through the night, stayed in the crib all night long, wasn't up between 1:30 and 3 o'clock in the morning seven times. I feel like a million bucks. This is wonderful. So, yeah, I'm doing great here on this Wolves midweek installment of the show. We're talking some Northern State baseball coming up here about a quarter past the hour, as we'll be joined by the head coach of the squad, that is Brandon Kusler. He'll be joining us here in about a quarter past the hour. And then members of the 4x4 squad, as will be joined by Carter Dingman and Drew Solfrank towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that discussion with those guys, as they were two portions of the legs, if you will, that won an event with a time of 3 minutes and 16 seconds as they secured their first 4x400 NSIC championship for Northern State since 2008. So nearly 20 years since Northern State won the 4x400, and two of those legs will be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. It makes a lot of sense now that Drew Solfrank, when he was playing for the Smitties, led their team in stolen bases.
You can ask him all about that, I'm sure. Yeah. And I'm sure he'll tell you. He's like, hey, you know, every time I'm over there at first base, I'm basically on second. Because I'm pretty sure, if memory serves correctly, Coach Kusler coached him before Ganelli did, if memory serves correctly.
Yeah, because Ganelli's first year was, I think, his first year. Or no.
His super senior year, maybe?
Yeah, his last year. I'm sorry.
Right.
So Ganelli's first year was his last year. So he'd be literally get on first, and next thing you know, he'd be on second. It's kind of like Flash. Like the superhero Flash.
Absolutely.
These guys are so fast. And it's just – and what I'm so curious about is just – like, I've mentioned this before, like, running for those guys is just so effortless. But the difference, what they're trying to get to, they're just trying to get to that next level of speed.
Yeah.
Like, they're already so fast, but you're trying to get to that, just that half a second, split second faster, and that's kind of where the training and everything else comes in. I just think it's incredible, these athletes. I mean, they got to be laser focused on what they're doing.
I'll even probably even go a step further. I think it's probably not even half a second. I think it's probably like tenths of a second faster.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Chris Webber in studio here a couple months ago, and he's talking about, hey, you know, my best time is this. You know, if I can get a tenth faster than that, I'm chilling, as you would say. So, I mean, it's wild how these athletes, like, a half a second is like light years in terms of improved space.
And that's why speed. They talk a lot about the mental aspect of the track and field side of things, because you're constantly looking at times and things that drive me nuts.
It would drive me crazy. All right, that is the Cobra, of course. Let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward for a local installment of The Jump here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Coach Larson joining us yesterday, just before the LRC meet got underway, and his Warner girls in particular turned out a pretty solid performance. They finished in second place there yesterday. McKenna Leidholt, another great effort for her. She would win the 400-meter run and in the long jump there as well, but it would be all about the host squads there for the Tigers of Ipswich. The Ipswich girls would finish in first place. They won seven events, highlighted by Isabella Galbraith winning the 800-meter run and the 3,200-meter run. Warner there in second, North Central in third, Northwestern in fourth, Langford in fifth place. Speaking of Langford, Peyton Marlowe winning the 100-meter run. Aberdeen Christians, Shantae LaCroix winning in the triple jump there. Christian, the ladies, they placed in seventh. For the boys, five event wins for Ipswich. They would place first. Kyle Hedich winning the 100 and 200-meter runs. We talked about him yesterday. Tate Hoagie winning in the discus. North Central second, Falkton third, Aberdeen Christian fourth, with Dylan Hofer winning in the long jump. And Warner's Josiah Baum, talked about him yesterday too, he would win the 400-meter run. So the two guys we talked about, Hedich and Baum, both won respective events there yesterday.
Yeah, Hedich ran in four different events there yesterday. He was in the 4x1 and the 4x2, as well as the couple events he won. I mean, those are just incredible. Those are completely different races. So the fact that you got to go in with a different mindset, like, hey, the 100, I'm going to do this. The 200, I got to leave maybe a little bit more in the I have no idea. But the fact that you run in four different races is pretty incredible to me. And you finish in first in all of those. But, I mean, how close was that boys thing? I mean, you won by a half a point. North Central was what, 133 and a half there?
Yeah, that's correct. On the guy's side there, you had North Central a half a point behind Ipswich there. So, I mean, you talk about tenths of points and half of points and time. That's the difference right there between first and second.
I'm not exactly sure. Do you know how those point system works?
Not exactly. I think it's all on the go-bound stuff. I think it's, you know, you get X amount of points for a first-place finish, X amount of points for a second and a third, that sort of thing.
Also, like,
pretty sure
on the girls' side of things, you mentioned Galbraith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the 800 is completely different than, like, the 3,200.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, how do you, like, you got to completely forget what you did in the 800 and focus on the 32. Like, that's incredible to me. Like, how are you that high level where you're doing that kind of those two events? I mean, and winning them. That's incredible.
And speaking of things that are interesting and incredible to you, I'm right there with you as it pertains to some of these relays. Like, you got a guy like Milo Sumption for Frederick, who is the second guy. Well, you've got Weston Thorpe running anchor, but Milo's running third in the 4x400. Milo's running second in the 4x8. So it's like, how do you figure out who's which leg of that kind of thing, you know?
Could
I have no idea.
Yeah, could it have something to do with the handoffs? Like,
probably.
We talked with Coach Larson there yesterday about the relay. Wasn't that interesting hearing that? Like, it's not always about how fast you are. It's about the transition with the baton. I thought that was incredible yesterday hearing that.
And to be quite frank with you, I had no idea that there was a space of 30 meters of that handoff zone. I'm very novice track and field. I'm not going to sit here and say I know everything about track and field. I don't. But I had no idea that was the length.
I think I've talked more track and field since I've been in South Dakota than I ever did before I moved out here.
100%. 100%. 281 conference meet was held there yesterday. The Woolsey-Wessington girls would finish in first place, followed by Hitchcock Tulare, JVC, Sunshine Bible, and Highmore Herald rounding up the top five. Hitchcock Tulare's boys finished in first, followed by JVC. Woolsey-Wessington third, Wessington Springs, and Iroquois Lake Preston rounding up the top five. For more individual notes on that, as well as the ECC conference meet and the LCC conference meet, check it all there on our website, hubcityradio.com. A pretty good day, too, for the Aberdeen Central boys on the tennis courts. After day one, they were sitting in eighth place. They finish in sixth out of nine teams collectively. And a big shout-out goes to Dawson Peterson. He won the consolation championship over Lucas Height there in Flight 1 singles, as he downed Height there 8-0, and then Matthew Mauzicki, I'm going to go with that, of Mitchell in the consolation championship 8-5. and the team of Gannon Peterson and Dawson Peterson. They won the consolation championship in Flight 1 doubles. So kind of a tough first day for Aberdeen Central, but they responded quite well.
It's always how you bounce back after a tough one, right? And I feel like those could either go one or two ways. You can kind of just kind of mail it in and be like, hey, tough one in day one. And we just kind of want to get this thing over with. Or you can go out and compete for day two and see what happens. And a lot of individuals on the singles and doubles things doing that. Congratulations on those consolation champions.
As for Aberdeen Roncalli, they would pick up their third event victory of the season, downing Milbank there yesterday 7-2. Cavaliers getting singles dubs from Ezra Feichert, Liam Vohl, as well as Linus Johnson, Caleb Stokes, and Lincoln Hunstad. And a pair of doubles victories for the Cavaliers with Feichert and Johnson and Vohl and Stokes. Bulldogs picked up a win in flight six singles with Jack Terdang over Cody Niederbommer, 6-3, 6-0. And then the team of Peterson and Terdang defeating Hunstad and Cebulski for the Cavs there in flight three doubles. Softball action from yesterday. Duel, that train is rolling down the tracks. They're playing some really, really good softball right now. Almost said baseball. Duel defeats Elkton Lake Benton, 15-rip. Milbank was all over Groton, 15-2. Florence Henry defeats Kingsbury County, 19-4. And O'Gorman, they were all over Aberdeen Central, 16-1. And how about this? Bailey Ober yesterday, his first career shutout, a two-hitter. And that's all well and good. Twins win the game 3-0, but what surprised me the most, only 89 pitches, as the Twins now sitting in third place, a three-way tie for third in the best division in all of baseball, the AL Central, as the Twins, they go for the series win here today, 6:40 for your first pitch. They win last night 3-0.
Did you have the White Sox being in the wild card right now on your bingo card, 20-21?
Probably not.
But yeah, Bill Ober finally pitching well, and the Twins right now, three straight wins, finding a way.
I think it's four now, isn't it?
It's three.
It is three.
They lost to Cleveland on Friday.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So they bounced back with three nice pitching performances, and, I mean, they won a game 2-1 on Saturday, 3-0 yesterday. The bullpen's been shaky this year, to say the least, so if they can get some decent bullpen pitching, they could be okay. But like you said, this is a really rough division right now in the Central. And I talked about it last week when you were out, just how bad, or not bad, but mediocre the whole American League is at this point in time. I mean, there's only really two teams that are playing out of this world, and they're both in the AL East with the Yankees and the Rays. Everybody else in the AL is either under 500 or right around there. So the Twins just hanging tough. That's all you need.
That's all you need to do. Just keep playing 500 ball until you reach the All-Star break, and then you figure out, hey, are we buyers or sellers here? We'll see. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some Northern State baseball as Brandon Kusler. He'll be joining us to put a bow on the season. Sports Hubbing it up on a Wolves midweek installment of the program on FSA. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and maybe we can get some help here in studio with Brandon Kusler joining us live here on the phone. You don't have the headphones on. I had some help by a little Morgan Wallen and Post Malone there for a second, but we're talking golf off the air. We're saying that you're out there and about. Your game's pretty solid right now, huh?
Yeah, it's playing all right so far. It's early still, and still got plenty of time this summer for it to go south on me. So we'll see.
I like your optimism. probably true for both, just about all of us. So the baseball season officially in the books. Obviously, not the record that you'd like to have, but I said it probably 3 weeks ago. Feels like every game is either a one-run loss or you guys are just right there in the latter stages of innings. I think we even talked about that on the program a couple weeks ago. But before we even take a look at individual games and whatnot, the whole season as a whole, what do you make of it?
Yeah, like you mentioned, a lot of really good competitive games in there. And I think I counted last week, 10 games lost by two runs or fewer. So plenty of those games that were right there. And it takes making one extra play or getting one big hit or making one more pitch, that kind of decides those games. And, so yeah, it's unfortunate not to come out on top with some of those games, but yeah, overall, you know, proud of the group that we had and proud of the way that they fought till the end. And yeah, it was unfortunate, you know, down the stretch where we were in a position to maybe make a run at the playoffs, and you know the last 2-3 weeks just didn't take care of business and didn't win games that we needed to win, and so yeah, that was obviously unfortunate, but it doesn't take away from all the good things we accomplished this year.
How frustrating was it for you as a coach, being in those positions, you know, one or two run ball games, and just not coming out on the other side of that? I feel like that can be kind of frustrating because you're put in that position multiple times throughout the year, and it's not from a lack of effort or anything like that from your team, but my guess as a coach, that's kind of got to be pretty frustrating for you.
Yeah, absolutely, and baseball is a weird game sometimes. Like early in the year, it seemed like we were winning a lot of those close games. Like I remember that Duluth series down in Florida, where every game was pretty tight, and we found a way to win all three. And so sometimes, you know, the ball's bouncing your way a little bit in some of those close games. And down the stretch, unfortunately, the ball just wasn't really bouncing our way. And it's just important, as frustrating as it can be, just to, you know, remind the guys, like, hey, you're right there. Like, you're right there, and it's not like the gap is this big. Like, it's a lot shorter than you think. And it really just takes having the same mentality every single game, and just needing to go make that extra play to win the ball game.
We were talking about the Aberdeen Wings yesterday and puck luck. You know, you gotta have some puck luck. Mm-hmm. Is it a thing in baseball too, in terms of maybe an inch or two here with the strike zone? I mean, what would you consider puck luck in the baseball sense? Is there such a thing?
Yeah, I think there definitely is some luck involved in baseball, but good teams, you know, put themselves in a position to where, oh, that one lucky bounce ends up being the difference. Mm-hmm. I think it's a real thing. Like I remember this was a couple years ago, I think, but like think about the Kansas City Chiefs and all the you know, single possession games that they're winning,
like 11-0 or something.
Yeah, yeah. And people were just saying how lucky they are. And, well, it takes a lot more than luck to be in those positions to begin with, to be in a game and have a chance to win at the end, and then takes a lot of talent to go to make that play, that big play at the end to go win.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was probably one of those people saying how lucky they were, but. I was looking at some individual stats, and I see here multiple guys had batting averages over 300. Mm-hmm. So you guys were really hitting the baseball and knocking the cover off the ball this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. I thought a lot of guys had some really strong years offensively. Dalton Kesty, I know we've talked about him in the past. Just what a year from him as a redshirt freshman. Colin Lott had a tremendous year as a true freshman for us. Dylan Castellanos, senior outfielder for us. What an amazing year from him. Drew Benson, finally got a full year of Drew Benson. We kind of joked a lot throughout the season, like he was staying healthy kind of for once in his career. And it was kind of toward the end of the year, we were joking about how, like, wow, I'm actually going to play a full season. And I'm like, yeah. And so it was awesome just to see him really play. And I think he played in maybe every game for us or almost every game. So seeing him be able to do that for a full year and have success doing it was really fun to see.
Got a whole town named after him in Minnesota there.
Yeah, yeah.
Benson, Minnesota.
I've driven through there a few times on the way to the city.
So have I. No doubt about it. Brandon Kusler joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So the season, all seasons, whether you're champions or you're at the cellar, regardless of level, high school, college, pro, there's always going to be some peaks and valleys. For you, what was the peak? For you, what was the valley?
Yeah, I would say the peak was our Florida trip this year. I thought, you know, not only was the trip just a lot of fun, but, you know, we were playing pretty good baseball at that time and getting a three-game sweep of Duluth while we were down there, and also beating a team like Davenport, who's currently in a regional right now. Just kind of at that time of year, we were playing really solid baseball, and I don't know if we were just a warm weather team or what that might have been, but that was a really – really fun time of the year, and I know the boys really enjoyed that trip overall. And it was good to win some games down there too. Valley of the season, yeah, I would really say the last 3 weeks. You know, I remember sitting there, I think right ahead of our Jamestown doubleheader, with about 3 weeks to play, and I think we were sitting in the 9 spot in the standings, and you know, top 8 make the playoffs, and so we're really, you know, looking at that, like, we can kind of control our own destiny here down the stretch. If we take care of business on our end, we shouldn't really need help from others to go make a run at this thing. And unfortunately, just didn't come through when we needed to down the stretch, and lost a few tight games. I remember a tight game to Jamestown, a couple tight ones to Concordia St. Paul. We get walked off by Minot. You know, just a handful of games there that, you know, like we said, a pitch or two here, a hit or two there, and the result is different. So yeah, I was just a little frustrating there.
And that had to be tough, especially when you're looking at the roster and you got a ton of seniors and grad students as well, right? So can you maybe walk us through kind of the end of that season with those seniors? And, I know it was only your first year there, but I'm sure, they helped you along the way in your first year coaching for the Wolves. And maybe what did the exit interviews look like for some of these young guys?
Yeah, talking about the senior group first. What a tremendous group of young men. And, some guys that I've been around for a long time. There was even a couple guys on the team still that were freshmen when I was a senior at Northern. So some of these guys I had an opportunity to play with not too long ago. And basically everybody else, whether they were there for 5 years or for 2 years, I was there with them. So being able to, create those relationships with those guys over their time here was really special to me. And some relationships that I'm going to carry with me, the rest of my life, some awesome dudes. And I can't say enough good things about that group of seniors and what they meant to me and what they meant to this program. And we wish we could have done a few things differently down the stretch for them. But they were incredible. And you talk about exit meetings with some young guys, some of the returners coming back, and we finished those up a couple weeks ago, and a lot of really good conversations with those guys, as to what this is going to look like moving forward. Some guys that made a big impact on our team this year, whether they were a true freshman, redshirt freshman, whatever. Some guys that we're really going to rely on, the next 2 or 3 years in our program, and having conversations about, hey, let's build around you here. Let's bring in some other guys that are going to help you and help us succeed in the future.
Brandon Kuessler is our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen for a Wolves midweek. And I don't know if I can ask you this or not, but I'm going to anyway. We talked about it at the beginning of the season that you are the interim head coach. And we said, then, hey, maybe that interim word gets dropped and you become the head coach. What's that look like for you in the future? Do you sit down with Nate Davis and you figure that out? Have you guys had conversations? I mean, what does that look like for you in the future?
Yeah, we're still trying to work through some of those logistics right now. I don't have a ton to talk about it right now, but those are some things that we're trying to figure out here moving forward.
How cool would it be to have that name tag kind of drop there and just drop the interim and just head coach?
It would be incredible. This program, this school, means a lot to me. And I remember coming to Northern State University games as a little kid and growing up watching guys like Don Meyer coach and Kurt Fredrickson, and there's plenty of names out there that I just remember growing up. And being able to be a part of the Northern State family moving forward be truly special to me.
I was doing a Smitty's game a couple weeks ago, and after the Smitty's was over, I see you guys taking the practice field. This is like quarter to 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
So that was our last practice of the year. Yeah, last practice of the year. I told the boys we're going to hit some batting practice under the lights and kind of enjoy one last practice before our last road trip.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was a little chilly that night.
I was like, it was cold.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are out there in shorts and a hoodie. Get some pants on. Yeah. It's cold out there.
Yeah, that we were just waiting for that Smitty's game to get over, and it seemed like it kept dragging on and on. I'm like, man, I don't know if the city ordinance is going to,
You guys were playing music, too.
Yeah,
I'm
we
like,
were.
I'm so, like, all right, here we go. Yeah. Get the vibe up.
But no, that was a fun time for the boys for one last practice on Fossum.
No doubt about it. All right, maybe one or two more before we get you out of here. I'm curious because you're a baseball guy. You're a baseball nerd. You're a student of the game. You know all the unwritten rules, I think. And I saw this on social media yesterday, or this morning, actually. So Paul Skeens is rocking yesterday. I think he struck out the first six guys of the game yesterday. And the first guy up in the top of the third, he bunts to try to get on. And the crowd's booing. They're like, oh, this is so weak. And I'm thinking to myself, hold on. Pitcher can do everything he can in the world to get the batter out, but the batter can't do everything he wants to get on base? Make that make sense. Can you kind of unpack the unwritten rule there of, well, you just got to swing the bat rather than bunt on?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. A lot of it has to do with what time of game it's in. Like, what were they, in
it's
the
like
third inning?
Third inning, I think.
Like,
yeah.
I think in the third inning, like, that's totally fair game.
Yeah.
But, you know, the later in a game you go and a guy has a no-hitter or a perfect game going, right. Maybe that's a little bit frowned upon. Also depends on what the score is, too. Like, if it's an eight-run ball game in the eighth inning, yeah, I probably wouldn't be too happy if somebody tried bunting for a hit to break up a no-hitter. But if it's in the eighth inning and it's a one-run game and you're just trying to find a way to get a base runner on to, you know, find a way to go tie this game, yeah, it's fair game in my opinion. So, yeah, there's some different, you know, interesting unwritten rules a little bit with baseball. And, yeah, I try not to get too wrapped up in some of them.
Well, he got out on that bunt. Did you see his reaction? He's like, nice bunt, bro.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really funny. I'm actually with you on that as well. If it's an eight-run game in the eighth inning, I got a problem with the guy trying to bunt to get on, and he's got a no-hit bid going. But mm-hmm. in the third inning, when you're in the early stages of the game, I don't care if you struck out six times, he's trying to get on base.
Right.
You know, even if it's a two-run game, I'm in the eighth inning and you're getting no hit, you know, that guy gets on, the tying runs at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you on that. Yeah. You know, these pitchers, you know, complain about, like you said, they complain all about that. And it's like Paul Skeens is a Cy Young candidate. He throws the ball 105 miles an hour. Like, these guys are trying to get on base. And it's the Colorado Rockies. Yeah. Calm down. Jeez.
Well, I'm just glad that you guys didn't come to blows here in studio. We got a Yankees fan and an Orioles fan over here.
Well, they're whooping our you-know-what. 6-2, they played a road trip out there in New York. It wasn't even competitive, like, it was 10 days ago. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Now you got the Rays to deal with now.
That's true. Rays are playing good ball.
Rays
right
are
now.
Good. The Rays, it's kind of funny. You could probably, you know, you follow the AL East, so the Rays could have a different team every year.
Every single year.
And they could just somehow be in the mix for the postseason. Yep. You're like, who are these guys? Yeah.
They could have the same exact players yes. 2 years in a row, yeah. and 1 year they could win the AL East yes. and make a run in the postseason.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. And the next year they could be last place in the AL East. You just never know. That's baseball.
It's all over the place. That's a perfect way to describe it. That's baseball. Well, thanks for popping in. Good luck on your golf game here this summer, and hopefully we see that interim tag drops here in the not-too-distant future, and thanks for popping in.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Our pleasure. That's head coach Brandon Kusler here on Fox Sports Aberdeen of the Northern State Baseball Squad. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some Northern State track and field after this. Stay tuned. Sports Hub continues for a Wolves midweek on Fox Sports Aberdeen. David Tewksbury joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. It's that gentleman right over there. If Matt, you want to wave to the folks there on social media? The old thumbs up. Hey, yeah. Careful now with the thumbs up. You might get your fingerprints taken.
Oh, really?
Did you see that in the prep this morning?
I did not.
Yeah. There's like all these like new high-tech cameras.
Oh, geez.
So like don't hold your hands up to cameras now. They might get stolen. Fingerprints. That's a thing now, apparently. Yeah, it's like the new AI thing. But Carter Dingman and Drew Henriksen also joining us live in studio. Did you guys know anything about that at all? Or
I did not.
What a time to be alive, huh?
Don't wave to the camera.
Don't wave to the camera. No, I'm kidding. But glad to have you guys here in studio here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So over in Duluth here, was it this last weekend? This last weekend, you guys pick up a really, really quality win. Carter, I guess we'll start with you. For you guys, how do you figure out who runs which leg of these relays? Because some guys, it's like, I want to run anchor. Some guys are like, I want to start this thing off. How do you kind of figure that out? Where do you feel most comfortable?
I mean, for me personally, I like second or third leg. I don't know. I feel like, not to, like, hate on my own self, but just fourth leg's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I kind of tense up. I feel more loose, relaxed at like second or third leg. And then, I mean, first leg, Drew, Saul Frank, like he's our guy. He always puts us out in a really good position. He kind of sets the tone for all of us, I feel like. So, and then fourth leg, I feel like you gotta want it more than everyone else type deal. And I feel like he does. So that's kind of how we choose our order.
So Drew, you got that dog in you?
I try to be. I just want to go out there and just have some fun and just be loose, and that's kind of what happened this weekend, and I just did what I needed to do, bring this for the team, and we all just did what we had to do. We race well. So
we talked to Coach Larson at Warner yesterday, and he talked about how important the handoff is in these relays. Is that something that you guys really focus on, and is that something – what are some of the things that you like to pinpoint with those handoffs, if that's fair? Or you guys can, you guys can take that.
4x4 is definitely less important handoff wise than 4x1. 4x1 handoffs would be way more important. But, I mean, 4x4, still, like, you need to have good handoffs. He's ran into a couple guys at conference the last 2 years, so, and we feel like we got kind of gypped up on time. So it's definitely nice to have good handoffs.
It also helps that Carter and Drew have been getting handoffs for each other since, well, they've been running together the entire time. But we've kind of been running the same few guys every meet, so we kind of just gotten used to it. It's just a rhythm at that point.
So you said you were running anchors. Is that something you always done? You know,
I've ran this year, I think, every leg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was kind of just moved around. Whatever coach tells me to do is what I do, and I just go out and do what best I can do.
You got a favorite?
Anchor leg.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. Yeah.
So tell me about, we're big on superstitions here, event meet day. What's going through your guys' minds? Are you big energy drink guys? You got to get a certain meal in? I mean, how do you kind of mentally prepare and, I guess, physically prepare for meet day?
I mean, it'll start the day before, I feel like. Just kind of, like, doing the same thing for, like, my pre-meet practice. Just kind of keeping it all the same. And then I like to have, like steak and fries before every meet. And then just, like, once you get there, it's just kind of just check out the track, just kind of visualize what your race is going to look like, things like that.
I just go out there and just have fun and try to annoy as many people as I possibly can. That's just all I like to do is just have fun.
Talking a lot of smack at all? Or
no, it's just anything that comes to my mind or anything else. It's just go out there and talk. Just keep my mind off of it. And just, like I said, just go out and have fun. Yeah.
How much of track and field, like, on race day is, like, how do you feel? I feel like you could maybe feel good one day and maybe not so good the next. Like, how important is it to feel, like, exactly right on race day? Is it everything or not so much or what?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of get prepped. Like, early in the season, like, we kind of know that our bodies are going to be, like our training-wise is going to be a little sore. Like, we're not always going to feel the greatest on, like early in the year, but like once we get towards conference, like we really try to like limit ourselves like in practice, so that way we are like peaking at the right time.
Yeah, I think our training system by coach is just designed so that we are putting our best effort, our best performances out at the right time of the year and not at the beginning, because it's just not when you want to be getting your best times out there.
Our guests in studio, Carter Dingman and Drew Hendrickson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You secure your first 4x4 NSIC championship for Northern since 2008. Did you guys know about that beforehand leading up to this thing? Or was it something that kind of you saw in the story afterwards? Or maybe Coach Dingman said, hey, you know, we just kind of did our first thing in almost 20 years. Do you guys even think about stats like that or even hear about them?
I mean, yeah, I asked her like when the last time we won the 4x4, and she had no clue, like couldn't even think about it, and she's been coaching for a while. So, I mean, yeah, it's always really cool to be able to do that, especially since, like, those Mankato guys have been winning the 4x4 for as many years as I've been there.
Yeah.
So it's nice to beat them.
No doubt. Do you guys have a friendly rivalry with Mankato guys, or do you have friendly rivalry? Are there not so friendly rivalries within the NSIC? Like in football, you think trash talk, bottom of the pile. You know, there's some grabbing and pulling and stuff, mm-hmm. There's a lot of that stuff. In track and field, I would think not so much, but I'm sure there's probably a little bit of something in between events and meets and stuff like that, or not so much at all.
There's a few teams out there that we kind of get a little. I mean, I wouldn't say chippy with, but
a little testy.
Yeah, we want to go out. We want to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah,
he's from Bismarck, so anytime we're with UMary, he's always.
I just want to beat him.
He always wants to beat UMary. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe not so much against us, but I know he doesn't like them.
Why'd you choose Northern rather than Mary?
I just liked it better here. It was just when I came here, I liked coach. I liked the school, the team. It was just it was the right place to choose.
You guys are both juniors, and you was just kind of going through, you know, this year, you know, a lot of personal bests for you guys this particular year, and the 4x4, as you mentioned here, and maybe some individual events. So what do you think has been key this year for you guys individually?
I feel like individually we've all, like, kind of settled in and like, how we can't, like, how do we race in college? Because it does change from high school, I think, because this, you just got to get used to like the long, it's a whole year of training, so just getting adjusted to the training is really good.
Yeah, and you're just out there with the same amount of the same people every day, and so you're just getting more comfortable every year. And I think just something that's different from high school to college is maybe high school you're running four events, and here, I mean, we're running like two events at a meet instead of four.
We were talking about that yesterday with Coach Larson is, you know, a lot of times in high school, it's like, I'm going to be a shot put guy. And then it's like, eh, you're probably more of a javelin guy or something else like that. Were you guys always relay guys? Is it fair to say that that's your number one? Or are you something that you feel more comfortable in that maybe that you'd be considered as your number one? Or I guess how did you figure out that, hey, my relay is maybe something that I'm the best at?
Yeah. No, I think ever since high school, I've always ran better in relays, and Coach Murley has always prioritized relays. So I think just it's also easier to get a little more excited for relays. They're just a little more fun, in mm-hmm. my opinion. So, yeah.
Yeah, the relays are just, like you said, they're just fun. You're out there with a team, and it's less pressure because, in my opinion, it's less pressure because it's not just myself having to do it all. I mean, I'm with a team. So it's pretty fun.
So how'd you guys get into track and field? You guys play multiple sports growing up, and, you know, why was track and field the thing for you guys?
I mean, my mom's Coach Dingman, so yeah. I've always been around track and field since I was 5 years old, probably going to meets and stuff. But I always liked basketball, too. I was a big basketball guy. But, you know, I always just kind of figured I was going to do track eventually. Mm-hmm. And then once you start getting better at it, you like it way more. Because, I mean, running, if you're not very good at it, it's not very fun.
Did you have, like, a light bulb moment?
I can attest to that. I'm not a very good runner.
Did you have, like, a light bulb moment? Like, hey, I'm really good at this.
I wouldn't say I'm really good at this, but just, like, going to the state meet my first time in high school was definitely, like, one of my most fun experiences. Not even just, like, running, just, like, hanging out with the team and, like, traveling and, like, on the bus trips is definitely, like, the most fun part for me.
Yeah, it was just that, like you said, the state track, it's just like it hits different. Like once you go out there and you race against the top people in your state and you realize like, whoa, I'm a little decent at this.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of changes in your mind like what this sport is. So,
Carter, I know you've done Howard Wood before. Did you ever do
yep.
Howard Wood? Okay,
yep.
So what's that atmosphere like as a high school guy back in the day when you're competing against people from Iowa? I think there's some Nebraska in there too, right? And obviously the Dakotas. What's that like when you're competing at Howard Wood?
I mean, Howard Wood in high school was my favorite meet by far. Just like the overall competition, you run against everyone, like all classes too. So, I mean, that was really cool. And then just like I got to run against him because we knew we were going to run against each other or with each other the next year. So that's really cool. And you just meet a lot of new people, like, when you're running there.
Yeah, the competition is just the one thing. I mean, like, up in, like, when I was in high school, there were some meets where we had three teams. And when you get to Howard Wood and there's a billion teams,
yeah.
it's something else because it's just the atmosphere's better, the competition's better, you're just going to run better. It's just more fun.
How do you psych yourself up for a meet where there is, like, nobody there in high school and, you know, there's three teams to compete against? I mean, you have to compete the same way as if every meet were Howard Wood, or do you mentally have that mindset, or is that something maybe that you developed into college or what have you?
It's definitely grown over the years, but you just have to treat every meet as the same. You got to do everything the same, because if you don't, if you just treat it as just, oh, it's just some old meet just in the middle of nowhere, your mindset's going to be off.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to, every meet's just got to be the same so you can go out and do your best.
How much film do you guys watch? Do you go back, watch your previous races, like, hey, I should have done this, or if I do this, you know, maybe we'll shed some time off, or do you watch a lot of film, or is it more so, hey, the training is the more important thing? Like, how do you kind of navigate all that?
I mean, yeah, we definitely watch back our races. I mean, that's definitely necessary just because, like, if we don't get out very hard our first – like 200 and the 400, like that can definitely affect like our overall time. So
I would have probably more film to watch than he does because I'm a hurdler. So like that's a little bit more mm-hmm. of technique stuff to watch. So we have practice. We get filmed a little bit, and then watching back races, just seeing what you actually look like. So I have a little bit more film to watch than he does and other people. So
Drew, I'm kind of curious about maybe a fun story you could toss out in the air, because you strike me as a prankster, kind of a jokester. You're talking about, you know, you want to keep things loose. Do you have a fun story from the road, maybe pulling some pranks on some guys? I mean, going to Duluth is a long, long way on the bus, and maybe you're doing some stuff on the bus that, you know, maybe you're holding somebody's nose, I don't know, but while they're trying to sleep. But do you have a fun story? Because you seem like kind of a prankster guy, pretty loose dude.
It's not even me. We had one of our teammates, his name's Ty, he brought his Xbox and his monitor for the seven-hour car bus ride, and he played it the entire way there and wow. The entire way back. And it kept, I think, everybody awake, which was good.
Don't you get car sick playing the same screen on a moving bus? I don't know about you guys, but I get kind of car sick from time to time.
One would think, yeah.
Yeah.
He did not.
Sheesh. Did he have, like, the whole headset on and everything? He's, like, talking.
What game was he playing?
MLB The Show.
Oh, there you go. I play that game. So, I get
it. Okay, maybe 7 hours later, I get it.
I get it.
That makes more sense.
That's a good game.
No doubt. Carter Digman, Drew Hendrickson joining us live in studio. I think that's all I got for you guys, unless you got something else, Cobra.
No, I'm good.
Well, thanks for popping in here. Great job by you guys there up there in Duluth. What's it like when you compete in an event like this? What's the come down like? You're so jacked up for the event. Do you crash pretty hard, I'm guessing, afterwards?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
The 7-hour bus ride definitely wasn't fun after either. So
you definitely hit a brick wall after a little bit.
Guys get a lot of text messages from family and friends and stuff like that after that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was definitely really cool.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the best meets we've ever been a part of and competed at. So,
well, continued success coming up here next year. Enjoy the off season. Thanks for popping in studio here. And, again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. That's Carter Digman, Drew Hendrickson joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll wrap up the Hub after this. Sports Hub continues on FSA. Our thanks to Carter Digman and Drew Hendrickson for joining us live in studio. And, man, I totally screwed the pooch. Totally dropped the ball. As I was getting this set up yesterday with Coach Digman, she said, you got to ask the guys about the positivity can. I said, you got it. No problem. I get off the air here. I go, I feel like I'm forgetting something. I forgot to ask the guys about the positivity can. What do you think the positivity can is?
I have no idea.
My guess is it's like they all probably write something down really positive and they put it in a can and they pull it out like, hey, I'm a really good player at MLB The Show. Like, I don't know. God, I totally dropped the ball.
It's all right. We talked MLB The Show on the show.
I know.
I'm cool with that.
I know. But still, I feel like an idiot. Well, that's no different than any other day, but nevertheless. All right. Pretty sparse day here today schedule-wise. We do have a fair amount of baseball within the area, within the region there. Redfield has taken on the Win Squad here today. Groton against Miller. Milbank Bulldogs against the Mallards of SBW. And that Mallard squad, man, they're off to an incredible start to the season. I mean, we're kind of getting into, like, the 70s Dolphins territory here about undefeated seasons.
They are undefeated right now.
They are, 14-0. So we'll see how that all plays out. Game 5 of the best-of-7 series, Colorado and the Wild. Their backs are up against the wall. It's win and keep this thing alive if you're the Wild right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a tough game for them to win. But if you can win it, you force a Game 6 back at XL Energy.
Twins, Marlins, 6:40 as well, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen later on today.